I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. Android, or Kodi, boxes allow users to stream subscription content such as Premier League football and blockbuster films free of charge. The box itself isn't illegal, but after an 18-month investigation against Brian Middlesbrough, council thinks selling them preloaded with the ability to view copyrighted material is. The Middlesbrough businessman appeared briefly at Teesside Magistrates Court on Tuesday afternoon, where he requested a judge hear his case. Middlesbrough Council brought the first ever prosecution relating to the sale of Android or Kodi boxes. Speaking afterwards, Brian told the press, "I'm just standing up for myself. I'm going to fight it." Mr. Middlesbrough is being charged with advertising a product to circumvent technological measures. The two sides spent most of the hearing arguing over which court the case should be heard in, but ultimately Brian opted for the Crown Court. "I'm going on the direction of my solicitor, who has been dealing with this for the last 10 years, and he knows the job better than most people sat in there," he said after the hearing. "It doesn't matter which court I go to. If I go into the magistrate's court, they've never dealt with a case like that before. Now, I would rather go higher up the chain to somebody who does know what they're talking about, as all they're talking about is a gray area." And that gray area relates to what can and can't be watched legally. He says, "Everyone is interested. We might as well just get it sorted out for good in court." Mr. Middlesbrough was granted unconditional bail ahead of his hearing on October 27th at Teesside Crown Court. I'm interested in that because it seems like the cable companies really don't want Kodi, which is understandable because cable companies make money based on viewership and advertisements. But I also understand how it can be illegal, right? Like, it's totally free. And so if it's totally free, the people on the shows don't get paid, right? They can't. They can't make the money. I mean, I guess they're making way more money.
It's a completely different world. Yeah. I mean, our show, our studio, you can download every single episode through BitTorrent. And it's provided by the studio.
Right. But we're volunteers.
We are volunteers.
But not
every... But we have bills to pay.
Right.
So our model, it does not rely so much on the advertising commercials than the fact that you would go through our links to buy the things that are being advertised.
Right. Like,
it's
love...
an interesting twist.
Yeah. I have Kodi.
Okay.
Can I say that?
The software or the box?
Software. Like a box. Downloaded it on my computer. Right. Actually, Dave downloaded it on his computer.
Okay.
I don't know if that's legal or illegal. I probably shouldn't have said it if it's illegal.
Uh-oh. No, it's the use of illegal content.
Okay.
And that's what they're really trying to crack down on.
Okay.
And it makes sense. Unlike Category 5 TV network shows that are provided free, and we encourage you to download them and share them, it's not free to download.
It'll
other
be
shows.
Interesting to see how it actually works.
We'll be telling for sure.
Okay. 1 week ago, the U.S. Federal Drug Administration approved a device that could make the lives of those diagnosed with diabetes much easier. There are two types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. In the case of type 1, the pancreas doesn't produce any insulin to regulate the blood sugar. In type 2, either the pancreas doesn't produce enough or the body can't utilize what is produced efficiently. Those with diabetes need to carefully regulate their blood sugar, and if they don't, it could be fatal. For years, companies around the world have been developing a system where blood glucose levels are continuously monitored, reducing the highs and the lows patients may suffer throughout the day. Dubbed the artificial pancreas, the device would further ensure the safety of people with diabetes. A sensor, called the continuous glucose monitor, is placed under the patient's skin and measures the blood glucose or sugar levels in the fluid around the cells. A small transmitter then sends the information to a receiver where it determines dosing levels. That then sends the information to the insulin pump, which adjusts accordingly. The system is targeted specifically towards those with type 1 diabetes 4 years and older, but in the future could be used for those with type 2 diabetes. I love this. I love this especially because I have, well, two aunts that have type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
I just read it in the news. You think I would know the difference? The one where your pancreas doesn't work at all.
Okay.
They're insulin dependent.
Type 1.
And I have a friend who has a son who is also like that. And everybody goes through a rebellious stage. And if you go through a rebellious stage and you have diabetes and you just want to be against authority in some way, the best way to control that is to, I guess, minimize how much you need.
Automate the process.
Right. So if you have something implanted in you, of course, we all know I am all into like robots taking over the world. but if you have something that's inside of you that takes away the ability to possibly intentionally or maybe unintentionally do something wrong with your insulin, that is great news because people can, under duress or for some reason, I don't know why, but not take insulin when they should or take too much when they shouldn't. This will circumvent all of that.
Well, and speaking of taking too much, what happens if someone hacks these e-cyber devices?
Yes. While we're on the topic, pharmaceutical firm Johnson & Johnson has warned that one of its insulin pumps for diabetics is at the risk of being hacked, causing an overdose. The firm said the vulnerability concerned is the one-touch ping pump, which is only sold in the U.S. and Canada. Johnson & Johnson says that there have been no reported attacks and that the risk was extremely low, but nevertheless, the risk is there. The company says that users of the Animas One Touch Ping Pump can take precautions such as not using the pump's remote and programming the device to limit the maximum dose.
Yikes.
Scary when lives are on the line. Really great news that they, ahead of the game, gave us a warning and gave us precautions against. So thank you.
There need to be regulations put into place that specify the security that is required by these devices. Because companies that are not security savvy are releasing technologies that are dangerous if compromised.
It's true. I just noticed the picture on that news story and I really like that girl's nails.
You were
on a side note.
She's distracted. She's like, oh, this
orange
really and blue and
pretty.
Green.
Oh my goodness.
A little bit of pink.
I only have one bottle of nail polish. My toenails have always been the same color. This is crazy.
Oh dear.
Okay. NVIDIA's driverless car learns from observing humans. I don't know if that's a good idea. NVIDIA calls their prototype vehicle BB-8, and it's a Lincoln MKZ, or MKZ, depending on where you're viewing. While you can pick up a Lincoln that's loaded with near-autonomous driving features, NVIDIA shut them all down in their test vehicles. They wanted the car to use its neural network to actually figure out how to drive. That meant observing human drivers on the road. They mounted cameras to other test vehicles and then took them out on the road. The video footage they recorded was then handed over to the BB-8 so that the AI could analyze it and figure out how to reproduce the behaviors it observed. The results are pretty impressive. While BB-8 mows down a traffic cone at the start of the video released last week, but it handles plenty of real-world situations, including driving on dirt roads and driving in the dark with ease. Again, it's doing all this without ever being explicitly told anything, like how to identify the edge of a road or what another car looks like. That part's cool. Learning from people drivers isn't great for me, only because I watch them on the roads and think that they don't have a clue. Anyway, one common gripe in the 21st century is that nothing is built to last anymore. Even complex, expensive computers seem to have a relatively short shelf life nowadays. However, one computer in a small auto repair shop in Poland has survived the last 25 years against all odds.
Wow.
I know. The computer in question here is a Commodore C64 that has been balancing drive shafts nonstop for a quarter of a century. The C-64C looks like it would fit right into a scene from Fallout 4 and has even survived a nasty flood. This Commodore 64 contains a few homemade aspects. However, the old computer uses a special waveform generator and vibration sensor in order to measure changes in pressure, acceleration, temperature, strain, or force by converting them to an electrical charge. The C64C interprets these signals to help balance the drive shafts in vehicles. The Commodore 64 was released in January 1982 and still holds the title for being the best-selling computer of all time. It was for sure my first computer. When I look back at that, I feel like that's exactly what my computer looked like when I was growing up.
All you need is to throw a pizza box on the side.
Yes. I love it. Okay. Google has eventually entered the hardware game, which means some serious competition for companies like Apple. Google's new phone, called Pixel, was first teased last month and yesterday marked the official release date. The campaign is now rolling out across the six major markets where the phone will first be available: the United States, Australia, Canada, Germany, India, and the United Kingdom. During Google's launch event yesterday for the Pixel, a VR headset, and several other devices, Google CEO Sundar Pichai said that the time is finally right for the company to enter the product space by bringing together Google's artificial intelligence software with a sleekly designed hardware. He says, "We are evolving from a mobile-first to an AI-first world." Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash, the Albuquerque Turkey, and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us. If you found a news story you'd like to send, email it to newsroom@category5.tv. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis. And I'm back.